We're joined on the line by weatherman extraordinaire, Simon Evans. Morning, Simon.
Morning, John Andrews. Hello, guys. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, so how are you then, Simon? How's your Sunday going so far?
Oh, it's going well. I got up early. I was up late last night, putting a few videos on YouTube. My expedition round Luton yesterday, which was fun. I did a bit of a James Bond stunt. I literally put my hands on a bit of barbed wire and literally put myself the other side and fell in the mud. Pig's mud, literally.
You fell in the mud, okay. Is that all captured on camera?
No, unfortunately not, because my phone was in my pocket, so I couldn't video it.
Wow.
If I had a GoCamera, I would have probably got caught in the mud anyway. So I think you could be
the next James Bond. I can really see that, you know, the names. Bond. Simon Bond.
That'd be cool.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Imagine that. Getting the drive around in a fast car, hanging out with the Bond girls, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely, John. definitely, John.
So this week, you went to the pool in the park in Woking, and you managed to swim 108 lengths in under an hour. I mean, that's amazing.
I didn't plan that. I was supposed to do about 8 lengths that night, and I thought I'd get extra. I literally was counting the lengths. I've got to watch it count as well. I was counting the lengths. I thought I got to 104 or so. I didn't realise I got to 108. I went, blimey, that's just not possible. I showed the lifeguard, and he nearly fainted. He went, yeah, that's not right. And I went, yeah, look at it.
So you got a watch that records all this. I'm assuming the watch is waterproof, so you can wear it once you're swimming, yeah?
It's a 5,000 waterproof watch. It's designed to go scuba diving deep depths, really deep down below water. So it's designed, it's quite a special watch. Very expensive, but it's very up to date. Most expensive what you can get. So it's very useful. So,
do you know what I thought about you, Simon? You just went to kind of drop in a conversation. Oh, you just walked to Basingstoke. You just done 108 lengths. You know, you just kind of like drop these things in. But it's pretty amazing. I don't think I could do that, actually, in under an hour. I mean, that's pretty fast swimming. That's pretty fast swimming, isn't it?
Yeah, I could see the speed force around me. I was just going at that speed. My heart rate was like going through the roof. I kept going. I literally, you know, it was hard going first, and I got faster towards the end, and I just broke the speed limit, literally.
There you go, breaking the sound barrier and the pulling apart. Well, maybe not quite, but yeah, pretty close. So I wanted to talk to you, knowing that you're an expert at the weather. I was reading this week, so the 11th of January, 1954, a big day in the history of weather. That was the very first television weather forecast. I'm just reading about this guy called George Cowlin. He did the first TV weather forecast in person on the screen. Back then, he had to draw his own charts. I mean, it's come a long way, isn't it, with forecasting?
Well, I used to do freeze magnets at one point.
Imagine
that. I used to do weather buoys on ships and stuff like that, and it wasn't the most accurate reading. Actually, in 1987, that didn't work because the ship, obviously, the fishermen avoided the storm. They knew it was coming in, and then that disappeared, and the Met Office couldn't get the forecast very accurate, and the 1987 hurricane, well, it didn't go south. It went north. This is the scenario we have with weather sometimes. Sometimes the system, they're like next week's scenario, we've got a massive snow event. The scenario is the snow is supposed to go, the rain is supposed to go south because of the moisture, but it could go further north. I think it's going to snow next Wednesday.
You reckon?
We're going to get 30, maybe 20, maybe 20 cm of snow, maybe 30 cm. I think we're going to get it. I don't believe the Met Office are very confident. I'm sticking to my guns. I get it wrong, but I don't change my forecast. I stick to it.
Yeah.
And if it happens, it happens. And it will happen.
Do you know what, Simon? I took my mum shopping this week and she was like, I'm going to buy some extra milk just in case you get snowed in. So, you know, she's probably with you on that one. But just looking at this, George Cowlin, first weather presenter from 1954. I guess up until that point, the weather was a very serious business. It's all very stuffy. But then he goes on the telly back in the day on the old black and white television, and he said, you know, tomorrow's a good day for putting the washing out. And the fact he made it so informal, that personal touch, that made headlines the next day. It was all over the papers.
Wow, amazing, John Andrews. Wow.
Yeah.
Comments
about
that on the newspapers. Wow.
Amazing. Yeah, he made headlines. And, 1974, we had a lady called Barbara Edwards. She became the first female presenter. But just thinking back, 1950s, you know, very, very basic. And now it's very high tech. And I know you've actually spoken to a TV weather presenter, and you were quite amazed, weren't you, at all technology and how they do it all.
Yeah, I've actually done a forecast at the green screen at the old BBC studios in London. I think it was White City area, around there, a long time ago. I think we were with a carer called Brian, and we went there for a day, and I did an actual forecast on in front of people. Well, not in front of lots of people, just in front of the people, which were the group of people on the camera, which was fun. And it's quite challenging. You've only got about a time, about 1 minute, maybe 2 minutes, 50 seconds to talk in it. You've got to talk fluently, but not too fast. It's very hard to get the right tone when you do a forecast on the BBC. You can't just go on for a 4 minute forecast. You can't 2 minutes, 50 seconds. You've got to talk clearly and slowly, but not too. It's very difficult, John, to do.
And and I had a go at this as well. I was in Bristol, I think, and they said, do you want to have a go at sort of recording a weather forecast? There's a video of me somewhere doing this. And I'm, you know, being on the radio, I can kind of, you know, get the sort of presentation right. But actually, the hardest thing is actually knowing where to point. Because you're looking at a monitor and you're pointing one way and it appears on the monitor the other way. It's very confusing, and you've got to concentrate on what you're saying as well. So, you know, there's a lot going on there.
Oh, yes, it certainly is. It's not as simple as it looks. You've just got to stand in front of the green screen and you have your cue point. You have the writing in front of you, what you've got your script to read, which I probably wouldn't read because I just go in my head. That's what I want to do. That's what I do, but the network wouldn't like it very much if I was there. I say, no, that ain't right. No, you can't do that. There's 30 Celsius in the southeast. It's maybe 22. No, 30 Celsius. That's what I was thinking, literally.
Oh, I love that. So, yeah, it's really interesting when you get to sort of try these things. It looks so easy on the telly, but there's a lot to take in. So, yeah, we've come from, you know, drawing your weather mats, sticking fridge magnets on to very, very high-tech forecasts involving computer graphics and everything. What do you think the future will be for TV weather forecasts? I mean, we're all weather forecasters now. There's apps on your phones. You keep an eye on things. But in terms of being on the telly, giving weather forecasts, what do you think the future will look like for that?
Well, I imagine it'll just evolve more in advancing further, and the forecast further ahead will get more accurate with time and more confident. It should do. But then there's always the uncertain weather. I mean, as you saw, Storm Hank, that came out of nowhere. I predicted Storm Hank last year on the 27th of December, let alone the cold weather we're having at the moment, the snow we had earlier this week in Woking. So it's I just got this powerful knowledge in my head, this know-how of what's going to happen. So I can outsmart the computers by hundreds to one all the time.
Love it.
I don't think they're that advanced as I am yet. But if they do outsmart me, that day will come. I don't know when, John.
There's the challenge. Outsmart Simon. Yeah, someone is to develop a computer who can outsmart you.
Indeed.
Weather-wise. So, yeah, I know you met Keely Donovan, who is a BBC weather presenter, and you interviewed her for radio. So what was that experience like for you?
Oh, it was amazing, incredible experience. I learned so much from her. I learned about hurricanes, I learned about weather buoys and everything else. And she was just, she was amazing. I really liked that interview. She was just amazing. I thought she was great. I mean, she just comes from scratch herself. She used to just present the news. I thought, wow, you know, it just shows you, doesn't matter what department you come from, you can literally go up in the world, John, literally.
Exactly. There you go. You can do whatever you want to do. Just, you know, keep working at it. Have you got a favourite TV weather presenter, if you had to pick one?
My favourite TV weather presenter is got to be Carol Kirkwood, because she's the best. And she's just got married, I think, recently. Unfortunately, she's married. She's older than me, so I don't think I'll ever go out on a date with her. No chance. But I like her so much. And I'd love to have a chat with her one day and have a natter. And now see if I can outsmart her on a weather question. I bet I could.
Love that. I think there should be a new TV show, Simon Outsmarting the Weather Presenter. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, in terms of the weather then for the next coming week, you mentioned possibility of snow. So how likely is it we're going to be covered in, dusting of all white stuff?
It's a 55% chance next Wednesday, the 17th of January, in the afternoons, the evening, might get a covering of snow, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon by working. It might be a lot of snow, it might be a little bit of snow, it might not settle, depends on the dew point. There is definitely a chance to see a little bit more snow before the Atlantic onslaught returns with floods again across the UK. As I've been talking to you about it last week, we are definitely going to see more floods and more storms come our way. We might get a snowstorm next Wednesday called Storm Isha.
Oh.
Maybe. Navigator. If the low pressure goes further north, which is a lot further north, not across the English Channel, then it could cause the whole of England and Wales, and we're in what we call a snowstorm, which is quite brutal. But it's on a knife edge, John. It's still open to debate. We've got a few more days to go, and I wouldn't be surprised if we get at least some snow down here in the UK around Woking Town, at least enough to put the snow, and that would be what I think, in my opinion. I'm pretty confident.
Snow day, being out there building a snowman. Love that. I love that. If you haven't got to go anywhere, snow's nice. But if you find that you've got to get somewhere, particularly if it's a rural place and it starts snowing, that's a bit of a challenge. And in terms of temperature, I mean, it's been quite cold lately. Is that going to continue, or
it'll get colder. I mean, the thing is, we do need some snow to cover up some plants. The snow does do some good stuff. It does protect daffodils from the hard frost at night.
Yeah.
So if we've got the snow, obviously we're not going to get in time. But if we've got the snow, let's say tomorrow, it will cover it up. But it does help protect the plants. And the problem is, you get too much heavy snow on the trees, the branches do snap off the trees. That's the other hazard with the snow.
Yeah.
If it does come down, it's really heavy, into a lot of snow on the branches. That's another risk. And also, the roads will be icy next week. If we do get any snow on the ground, it will get icy on the Thursday morning, literally after the snow's finished on Wednesday evening, if we do get it. So that's another issue. So it's a lot to watch out for. We should be right on the roads for the next few days, and unless we get any rain today down here in the south, which is possible, and maybe a little bit, then the roads will be a bit icy tomorrow. But it's going to be very dicey weather next week. Very interesting. Of course,
and you're going to be watching it with interest, and we'll catch up next week to find out how things have progressed and whether your predictions have been right. But meanwhile, if we want to go on to YouTube, your excellent YouTube channel, how do we find you?
Simon H. Evans.
Yeah, so go and check that out. There's lots of interesting videos on there. Go and like and subscribe and all of that. Simon, always a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll catch up with you at the same time next week.
Definitely, John Anderson. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Have a great day. Yeah, thank you. There we go. There's Simon. Do check out his YouTube channel, Simon A.G. Evans.